Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Hey everyone, this is Carla, and we're here with the America's Jobs Team podcast. And on today's episode, you're going to get a chance to hear from Grady Fitzpatrick. Grady is a senior vice president at Greater New Orleans, Inc., where he leads all of the business attraction efforts and the retention efforts as well. And he is really working on investment in a 10-parish region down in New Orleans. So I think you're going to really enjoy the podcast. Grady is a really fun guy. He has great insights. And you're definitely going to want to tune in and hear his take on challenges in the workplace and for leaders currently as we move into 2020. So tune in. Hi, Grady. Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. This is Carla, and we are so delighted to have you on the line today.
Thanks, Carla. No, it's great to talk to you.
So, Grady, I have to admit that I have heard a lot about you prior to meeting you, and it was almost like you were this, like, infamous, like, economic developer that all the site consultants said did everything right. And it was, I had you in my mind as this like intimidating, larger than life person. And then I met you and you are an amazing economic developer and everything they said is true. But I also learned that you're really fun and that you have an amazing sense of humor and that you're actually not so scary and intimidating. So I am really excited for the audience to get to know you a little bit more through our interview today.
Well, yeah, intimidating probably would be one of the last adjectives that I've ever been described as. So I'm glad it didn't come true for you.
Yes, yes, it for sure didn't. And after hearing you and Chris Shastock and your team kind of go back and forth as we planned a session for economics last year, I was like, they are having a whole lot of fun doing their job, and I love it. So we're going to dive into the podcast. And as you know, we really like to focus on leadership. And we believe that, you know, economic developers are these amazing leaders in their communities and have a lot to share. And we take great pride in just the profession in general and want to be a resource for people as they are in this work and may feel lonely or need encouragement or are just starting out and are looking for a few tidbits of advice from other leaders. So I'm going to pick your brain about leadership and learn a little bit about your story and some of the advice that you would give. So we're going to start out by just talking about challenges because, you know, right now in leadership, there are a lot of challenges. And I'm curious to hear what you think the biggest challenges are facing leaders now as we kind of are getting ready. Everybody's talking about, you know, 2020 and is there going to be an economic recession? And, you know, it's like, here we are again, like getting ready to start another year. Politics are nuts. Like, what's the biggest challenge from your perspective?
Yeah. Well, and first, I really thank you guys. I was at the first economics and, you know, the kind of commitment to helping, you know, having those resources, helping build kind of this database of thought leaders and kind of having that place to go for professional development has been really helpful for me. So I appreciate that.
Well, good.
You know, I think looking at it, you know, kind of the day-to-day challenges that I've kind of encountered, and I've got a staff that's growing over the past, you know, 6 to 8 months. And, you know, the workplace dynamics have really changed. You know, we hear a lot about and kind of read a lot about the millennials and the way they approach work and even, you know, the younger generation from them in the economic development profession in my office specifically too. You know, we have an older folks as well that are, you know, more traditional, I should say, in terms of the way they approach work. So, you know, I think one of the biggest challenges is kind of being fair to everyone's work style and letting them know kind of the value of that flexibility and getting your work done, and not everyone does need to come into the office, you know, at 8 o'clock every morning. But it's definitely a balance, and it's a challenge to kind of educate folks about, you know, the commitment they need to have to the organization, but also letting people, you know, have that freedom because talent is tight, you know, just from a from our profession as well. You know, a lot of people do want to work in economic development, and you want to, but you want to retain that good talent that you have. So you have to be flexible. And I think from more of a macro perspective, like you said, I mean, it's a kind of a divisive time in our country. And so there's certain topics that come up that I think maybe 5 years ago wouldn't be as big a deal. And now, you know, if politics comes up in the office or even at a meeting or, you know, if our staff is out talking to businesses, you just got to be really careful in terms of how you talk about certain topics, especially in the political realm. So, you know, I think that's a challenge for sure. And sort of, you know, teaching your staff how to approach, you know, business retention meetings and being on panels and ourselves included as leaders, making sure you're aware of sort of these times and working towards sort of finding solutions that are really not sort of one side or the other.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because that's something that I think a lot of us have been feeling, but haven't really talked a lot about out loud. I mean, you hear a lot of conversations about generations in the workplace, but I think what you're kind of talking about is not only the time and the divisiveness that our country is facing, but also that we have different work styles and different work preferences in terms of even how you, like hours that you come into work and what does commitment look like and feel like across those generations. And I think it's so interesting because I think a lot of people are really committed and maybe are working a lot from home, but how do you know,
right?
You know, and it's, we're all just still trying to figure that out, like figure out that balance between being flexible and accommodating, but also driving the needle forward on commitment and having the team feel like everybody is committed.
Exactly.
So I like that you pointed that out. So as you think about, you know, leadership, I know you've had the opportunity to work for some other, you know, really good leaders. Is there anybody that sticks out as an example of somebody who had a characteristic that you really feel like, you know, every leader should possess? Is there like one characteristic and one person in your life that has just embodied that characteristic?
Yeah, this wasn't the name I was kind of thinking of initially, but, you know, when I first got into economic development, I was hired by the Metro Atlanta Chamber and Hans Gant, who had been in the industry for quite a while. I just really, really appreciated he was this form of empathy, like really took the time to kind of understand his staff, what was driving that, but also kind of had this presence about him in meetings that, you know, he was a really good listener and sort of what in the, you know, the arenas I was with him and in meetings and just kind of had this nice characteristic about putting people at ease, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get the information. That's how you build those relationships. He was big on relationships, you know, in the site selector community and with companies. And so I appreciated him hiring me because I didn't have economic development experience at the time. So, and I really give him credit for kind of opening up and bringing his staff along and giving them opportunities, I think, to get those relationships. You know, we used to do a trip to Chicago every year, and yeah, Grady come and, you know, I spent, you know, I was new, so I didn't have a lot to add, but it was those relationships that I built and with some site selectors, you know, to this day, 15 years ago that were on that first trip to Chicago. And so I've always looked to Hans as kind of a, you know, a role model in this business, but even beyond.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's so great to work for people that, you know, are willing to take you along, even when you, you know, quote unquote, don't have a lot to offer. It's the opportunity to learn and to learn and kind of soak in the conversation and see how those conversations go down. And to be able to learn from that is so important. And I think sometimes people take it for granted that they're, you know, like, well, what's my purpose here? Well, your purpose is to just soak it in.
Right. And then hopefully learn from that and then provide value as you kind of grow within the organization. You know, and I think leaders have to understand it's for the betterment of the person. They're going to work harder. Maybe they leave in a couple years, but there's still that, you know, you're always keeping those relationships and getting value, I think, throughout.
Absolutely. So on the flip side of that, you know, we've all been around leaders that, you know, weren't as amazing or maybe had one quality or made one really bad decision that kind of derailed their career. But is there a behavior or leadership trait that you find that you are really protecting yourself from? Like, I've seen that go wrong for other people, and I really, really just want to make sure that my leadership could not be described with these words. Are there certain words that you kind of are, you know, guarding against in your own leadership?
Right. Yeah. And I think it's kind of the flip side of what I was just talking about. I mean, I think just kind of being selfish in your own career, like you have to open up and bring other people along, because then they work harder for you, and they, you know, and then they have their own opportunities. You know, when you keep everything close to the vest, it doesn't really, yeah, it might help you in the short run, and you know, you're kind of protective of certain relationships or certain projects. But I've always tried to, you know, I can always do a better job, but be open to bring folks along, or even just handing off projects where they can kind of run with them once they've built up that trust. Because I think, you know, if you become too selfish, people, you know, they don't really, they're not getting opportunities, number one. And number two, they're going to lose motivation because they don't really own things within the organization.
Yeah. And I think especially as you're talking, you mentioned earlier that we have this new generation of economic developers coming into the fold, and they're hungry for challenges and eager to take on some of those challenges. So I think that there's less patience for kind of sitting and waiting for your turn. So I think we have to bring them along faster and allow them to accept those challenges and to be there to support them and to make sure that they don't feel alone and don't do anything critically wrong as they're learning, but to be able to let them experience, you know, some of those challenges, because right, the workplace dynamics are just changing.
Exactly.
So speaking of people that are, you know, just kind of entering a leadership position for the first time, we always ask the question, like, if you could go back and tell your, you know, 25-year-old self some advice, what would you tell yourself? And if you had to tell yourself some advice about your leadership, you know, if you could go back and tell yourself some advice when you first started your career, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think part of it, you know, it actually jogged my memory of, you know, kind of being in those early meetings and being okay with not knowing everything and sort of understanding what your role is. I think that's one. I think, you know, and kind of in line with that is, you know, being self-aware of sort of, you're going to have certain strengths, you're going to have certain weaknesses, and those weaknesses are okay. And you're kind of, and they're good to work on, but you were hired for those strengths, and sort of how do you, you know, you build on those strengths. I also think, you know, there's so many different leadership styles. There's really, I don't think a right or a wrong. I think there's probably general principles to follow, but everyone's going to have their own unique style. And so, and that's okay too. You know, I think if I was giving myself some more advice, it's probably, you know, maybe doing a little bit more professional development or reading about, you know, different leadership styles kind of before you're actually a leader is helpful too. And sort of, you know, building on kind of that upward management, that's a really key skill. And I think it helps when you're in that leadership position to understand how that works and how it can be helpful.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times people say, like, you almost have to speak some things into existence, like say what you want or what you're going for. And I feel like, you know, when you, if and when it doesn't happen enough, as you said, if you could have the chance to really study leadership styles before you're in the position where you're managing or supervising others, it gives you the opportunity to kind of say, like, this is the type of leader I want to be, and to begin to like speak some of that into existence based on, you know, right, who you are. And I think we sometimes wait until people are almost failing as managers in order to provide professional development. And that's, you know, managing is hard. It's really, really hard.
Exactly.
And there's no like Bible or manual on how to do it well that makes sense for every style and every organization. And I think you're right. I mean, I think if we could go back and tell ourselves, like, study these styles and speak it into existence, you'd have a little bit more of a pathway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's, you know, I think a lot of people, it just kind of happens, right? They're like, oh, all of a sudden I'm leading people. Oh, I'm a leader. I'm a manager. You know, it depends on the organization, obviously. But, you know, for me, it was, yeah, my manager called me and said he was leaving. And, you know, the next day, fortunately, I was hired into that position. And that provides challenges as well, because you went from peer to leader or to manager within 24 hours. But I think it's being a good coworker, you know, all of those office dynamics play into that, because you never know what that next step is going to be.
Exactly. And it is, like, as you said, sometimes you are managing people that were your peers, and you're trying to manage your friendships with those people and your work relationships. And oftentimes that first leadership position also still has a lot of individual responsibilities. And now you're also responsible for leading others. And that's really tricky to navigate. There's just so many different things to navigate. So I like that advice that you would give your younger self. I would give it to myself too.
Right.
So speaking of reading, I know you mentioned like you would read more and study more on these styles. What are you reading, or how are you investing in your leadership now? Like when you know, are continuing to try to grow, like are there podcasts or books or conferences that you go to that you're just thinking like, I cherish these resources because I am investing in myself through this time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I said in the beginning, I think you guys, what you're doing with economics and just the other resources you guys have, I think is definitely something I take advantage of. I listen to the Develop This podcast just because it's very topical. I mean, I don't think in the DCI podcast as well, the project one, just because, you know, a lot of times we don't have, our industry is somewhat unique. And so seeing those examples that really kind of touch your day-to-day are really helpful. I'm reading books. I'm reading Shoe Dog right now. And it's just fascinating how Phil Knight has kind of created this billion-dollar company, you know, in the amount of struggles he had. So, you know, I think that helps relate to companies we're talking to, whether, you know, they're startups or large global multinational corporations. So, you know, podcasts to me have been kind of, especially like the 30-minute podcasts have been great to click on and go for a run. It's been very helpful. And I think just staying in touch with current events, you know, in what we do is really important.
Yeah. And talking to people like Chris Shastok, right? Because he keeps you on your toes.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I was actually going to mention that, but I didn't want to give him too much credit.
We would hate to do that. We'd hate to say that he's helping us to grow and develop as a leader every time we talk to him. All right. Well, I know we've taken a lot of your time today, and I just want to close with a question. And this is my favorite question. And I always say this, but economic developers are usually extremely humble people and are just very passionate about what they do. But that means that they often don't talk about successes enough. So I'm going to ask you the question, and I know it's going to be hard, but I want to hear from Grady, what's the thing that has been made you the most proud of your career so far?
Well, so I'll kind of give a two-part answer. I think, you know, from a purely economic development projects, creating, you know, this kind of tech cluster and this video game cluster in New Orleans, where I partnered with LED and continue to partner with LED, a guy named Josh Flegg, and I have been spending about 4 or 5 years into kind of, and we've had some success, but now people kind of in the New Orleans region talk about this video game cluster. And I don't really say much, but it's just really gratifying that we've sort of created something, you know, with some incentives, and we had a plan, but to sort of see that come to fruition is really neat. But I think broadly, you know, over the course of my career, and I've talked about relationships quite a bit, but to me, that's what I'm most proud of, is I can go back to my, you know, first job out of college and have two or three people that I keep in touch with. And each sort of step of my career, there's people that I just bonded with and at my wedding, and, you know, you just click. And I think it's hopefully a sign of, you know, respect. And I think mutual admiration when you work with people and you have that relationship post that position or post that company, that's what I'm kind of most proud of. I think I look back at, you know, 20 years of working and can name, you know, very, very close friends and relationships that came out of that.
Yeah, well, that is definitely something to be proud of. And congrats on everything that you're doing in New Orleans. You guys are in the midst of kind of an amazing run, and it's been exciting to watch. And I'm sure there's a lot more to come. So congratulations on being a part of some exciting things down there.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a, as we all know in economic development, it's not easy, but yeah, you continue to battle every day, and the wins do come.
They do come. And just when you think that they're going to slow down, you get another one. You just have to keep going.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Grady. It's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. And I hope to see you at Economics.
Absolutely. Thanks, Carla.
What a great episode with Grady. He is just a dynamite economic developer with great insights, some great wins, and great momentum going on in New Orleans. I'm so glad he could be on the podcast. I hope you all enjoyed his conversation and his insights. Next week, I am delighted to have my friend Courtney Ross on the podcast. Courtney is the chief economic developer for the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce, and she is a phenomenal female economic developer that I really admire. She's so smart. She's so much fun. And she's going to drop a lot of knowledge on this podcast. So you're going to want to definitely tune in next week for America's Jobs Team podcast with Courtney Ross.